Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
We're Seismic Cinema. I'm Colin. I've probably not seen it. Paul's watched it in the wrong order.
And I'm James, and I've probably written an essay on it. And that's Seismic Cinema. We believe in the power of escapism.
Oh, thank God for that. That'll do.
Darkcast Network. Welcome to the dark side of podcasting.
Abgenommen, bedauert.
And thank you all for tuning in, and welcome back to another episode. Here we have the continuing adventures of Mr. Keen, finder of lost persons. If you enjoy this episode, please check out the archives for volumes 1 and 2. And don't forget to reach out the usual ways. You can find those links in the description. And as always, if you enjoy this podcast, please consider following, reviewing, and rating. And with all that, please enjoy the show.
Even the dullest, dingiest floors can sparkle like new in 6 to 9 minutes with the economical no-rubbing AeroWax. Just apply AeroWax and let it dry. Its gleaming waxed finish protects against wear, eliminates frequent scrubbings and polishings. AeroWax, AeroWax, saves time, work, and money. For it costs only 25 cents at hardware, drug, grocery, or 10 cent stores. Mr. Keen, tracer of lost persons, is on the air. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Colonel's Toothpaste present Mr. Keen, tracer of lost persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction and one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight and every Thursday night from 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, the famous old investigator will take from his files and bring to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. To have a charming, attractive smile, teeth that feel fresh and clean, resolve right now to use Colonos, a high-polishing toothpaste. Colonos helps clean and polish teeth beautifully, yet with utmost safety. Colonos has a refreshing, minty flavor you're bound to go for, because it leaves your mouth feeling fresh as a daisy. Get Colonos. K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Colonos Toothpaste, tonight. And now for Mr. Keen and the case of murder in the air. It is almost midnight, and in Mr. Keen's office, as the tracer and his spinster secretary, Miss Ellis, finish up a very hard day's work.
You've worked long enough, Miss Ellis. Don't you think you better go home now?
There's still some more work to be done, Mr. Keen.
We can finish it in the morning. Do you realize what time it is?
Around 9, I should think.
It's almost midnight.
No.
Yes. And I just assumed you wouldn't come in at all in the morning. Now get a good night's sleep.
I'll be here at the usual time.
I had a feeling that's what you'd say.
Oh, may I have the key to that closet, Mr. Keene?
The key?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't have the key.
You didn't take it out of the door this evening?
No.
Well, that's odd.
Maybe Mike has it.
Oh, yes. I didn't think of Mike.
You want to get something out of the closet, Miss Ellis?
Just a book I left there. I tried to open the closet before, but it was locked. Mike must have accidentally locked it before he left. Oh, well, it doesn't matter anyway. I'm not going to do much reading tonight.
I should hope not. You go home and get some rest, Miss Ellis. I'll finish up here and lock the office.
All right, Mr. Keene.
Just midnight, I guess.
Late, even for you.
I'll be leaving very soon.
Good night, Mr. Keene.
Good night, Miss Ellis, and thanks for staying in. I think I'll check this correspondence in the morning. I'm getting rather tired. Come out of that closet and keep your hands above your head. I said, come out of that closet. Well, good evening.
Good evening.
May I ask how long you've been in there?
Since 8 o'clock. There was no one in the office when I came in, and...
And you waited in the closet because it was so convenient, eh?
Please, Mr. Keene, I know what you're thinking, but I'm not a thief, I swear it.
What is your name, young lady?
Barbara Halliday.
And your business here?
I had to see you, sir.
I have a telephone and a secretary. I usually make my appointments with her.
I was going to wait here in the office, but when I heard someone trying the outside door, I became frightened. That's why I hid in the closet.
What frightened you?
Mr. Keene, do you know what it's like to be marked for murder?
Please sit down, Miss Halliday.
Thank you. You'll help me, won't you, Mr. Keene? I have no one else to turn to.
My real job in life is helping those who've had a loved one suddenly or mysteriously disappear. There are thousands of real missing persons cases every year in this country.
I know there must be a great many, Mr. Keene, but I saw your name in connection with the Bennett murder case, the singing star at the Palladium.
Well, that's true. In that case, I'd been asked by a man who loved that girl to try to find her when she disappeared. But I found her murdered.
Mr. Keene, do I have to wait until I'm murdered to get you to take my case?
Very well put. Of course you don't, my dear.
I have money, inherited when my sister died. I can pay you whatever your charge is.
The money is not important. I happen to have all I need, and I'm an old bachelor. But go on now with your story.
Well, Mr. Keene, I live in Cleveland. Up until the time of my sister's death a month ago, I'd been living with her and with my brother-in-law. His name is Tagus, Chester Tagus.
I see.
After Grace's death, I decided I needed a rest. It was all too much for me. We were very close, and her sudden death was a blow.
Her sudden death?
Yes, Mr. Keene.
Go on, please.
I arrived in New York about 2 weeks ago, and that's when things began to happen.
What things, Miss Halliday?
3 attempts were made on my life. Any one of them could have been my finish. Frankly, I don't know yet why they all failed.
Well, tell me about them.
The first occurred on the street, in full view of several people.
And where was this?
Uptown, near Columbia University. I'd gone up to the university on a sightseeing tour by myself. I took a Fifth Avenue bus and got off at 110th Street.
But the university is at 116th.
I know, Mr. Keene, but I wanted to walk for a few blocks. I had an uncomfortable feeling on that bus, as if someone were watching me. I walked up the drive to 113th Street and then turned east toward Broadway. Do you know the street, sir?
I think so. A few apartment houses, mostly four-story walk-ups.
Halfway up the block, some workmen were about to lower a piano to the street. They were moving it, apparently. There was a large pulley on the roof, and they had the piano halfway through a window. I only half noticed those things as I walked up the street. My mind was on something else.
Oh, what?
A man was following me. Man in a dark coat, the collar turned up, dark glasses. There were other people on the street, and I got the feeling for a moment that it was all very silly. What harm could a man possibly do in a street full of people? That's how I argued to myself. For a moment, I thought of running. I walked faster. So did he. But suddenly, I decided to face him, and I turned. What do you want?
Pardon me, ma'am?
You've been following me. What do you want?
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't mean to frighten you. I'm a stranger in New York, and I wanted to ask directions.
You could have asked someone else.
Of course. I'm sorry. Do you have the right time?
It's 4:30.
4:30. You're very kind.
Now, will you please go? It was the piano, Mr. Keene. It hit a projecting ledge as it fell and missed me. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling you this right now.
You think that was deliberate?
I know it was, now. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm convinced that that man kept me there under the piano until his accomplice opened the pulley on the roof.
Well, I don't want to sound skeptical, Miss Halliday, but don't you think it was quite a coincidence that you happened to walk up a certain street at a certain time just when some workmen were removing a piano?
This is my explanation, Mr. Keene. May not be logical to you, but I believe it. There were two men following me. They actually had a different plan in mind, but they saw the piano, and they made their attempt with that on the spur of the moment.
And the workmen saw nothing?
No. There was no one on the roof at the time.
Hmm. You say there were three attempts to kill you?
Yes. The second attempt occurred on the subway. The following morning, I decided to visit the Cloisters. I took a subway at 42nd Street and Express.
At what time was this?
Around 11 o'clock. It wasn't the rush hour, and I was alone in the rear car. At least I thought I was alone. Until I noticed a man sitting at the other end. The same dark glasses, dark coat with the collar turned up. He disappeared in the confusion right after the piano fell, and there he was again. I watched him out of the corner of my eye. When the train reached 59th Street, he'd moved his seat, and he was now directly opposite me.
Didn't you try to get out?
I was afraid to move. I prayed that someone else would board the car, but it was still empty except for us when the doors closed. And the train began to move.
What happened then?
The run between 59th and 125th Street is the longest on the line. I suppose it really only takes a few minutes, but to me it seemed as if I was living my whole lifetime over again, because the man with the dark glasses had deliberately changed his seat again, and he was now sitting next to me. There was no conductor on that subway car, as sometimes there aren't. I started to get panicky. I couldn't scream. We were in the last car, and the noise was too strong. I got up and moved towards the end of the train, and he followed. Then I knew what he wanted to do. He wanted to push me off the train. I started to choke with fear. I wanted to beg him to leave me alone, but the words wouldn't come. And he was pushing me against the gate and fumbling for the catch. Suddenly, I found my voice, and I screamed at the top of my lungs. Later, I opened my eyes and found a conductor looking down at me. I'd fainted. My enemy was gone.
Was there an investigation?
No, I didn't tell anyone what had happened. I just took a cab home as quickly as I could and went to bed. The next day, I was ill from fear and anxiety. Every time I heard a footstep in my hall, I thought it was the man with the dark glasses.
You kept to your room then for several days?
Yes, I had my meals sent up. The only one I would admit was the waitress who brought my food from the restaurant downstairs.
Where were you living?
In a brownstone house on 37th, Mr. Keene. I've since changed to a woman's hotel, the Charlotte.
Yes. Go on.
Well, at the end of 3 days, I began to get hold of myself again. I felt stronger, and I decided to leave town as soon as I could. And then one evening, Marion, the waitress, brought my dinner as usual. Who is this?
Marion, ma'am.
Oh, just a moment, I'll let you in.
How are you today, Miss Halliday?
I'm fine, thank you, much better.
I got you some tasty stew, Irish stew. I'm sure you'll like it.
Thank you, Marion.
Oh, my goodness, you've been leading a hermit's life up here. No friends, no fresh air, no movies.
I didn't miss the movies so much, but the fresh air, I could certainly use some of that.
Why don't you go out for a walk after dinner?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, but it's so nice out, and you'll feel fine after you have that lovely dinner. Wait till you taste that stew. I had some myself, and it's super.
I bet it is.
Do you want me to uncover it for you?
No, thanks. I'll do it. Stew does look good.
There's hot potatoes under the other cover.
Oh, they look nice, too.
And under that third dish, I guess they must be the peas.
Oh, thank you very much.
What is it, Miss Halliday? In the dish, Marion. Oh, it's a spider. A dead spider.
Do you know what kind of a spider that is? They call it the Black Widow. The deadliest in the country.
What a strange story Barbara tells Mr. Keene. It continues in just a minute. Mr. Keene is broadcast to you by Colonel's Toothpaste. After all is said and done, all any dentifrice is supposed to do is clean your teeth. Thousands of folks like you and me have found that Colonel's, the high-polishing toothpaste, does that job thoroughly and safely. And Colonel's does a real job in helping remove surface film from teeth. Safely, quickly, it helps brush away that clouding surface film, which often hides the true beauty of your smile. It leaves your teeth shining clean, looking their loveliest. Run your tongue over your teeth, and you feel the difference. Look in the mirror, and you see the difference. What's more, you'll be delighted with the pleasant, minty taste of Colonel's. You'll find it leaves your mouth feeling cool and fresh as a May morning. If you do not already use Colonel's toothpaste, won't you try it soon? That's spelled K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Colonel's toothpaste. Now back to Barbara and Mr. Keene.
You say the spider was dead, Miss Halliday?
Yes.
It may have been dead when it was placed there. I don't suppose the waitress knew anything about it.
She was just as frightened as I was.
See, I have a theory, Miss Halliday. I don't believe anyone was really trying to kill you. If they wanted you dead, they could have accomplished it in the subway or in some other less complicated way.
But you do believe all this has happened to me? You don't think I'm making it up?
No, my dear. I believe you. But I think they've all been merely attempts at murder, attempts to frighten you.
But why?
That's what I'm going to find out. Now, you say you're living at the Charlotte?
Yes, sir.
You believe you're safe there?
Safe as I could be anywhere.
Well, suppose I see you home now. I must say this is one of the most peculiar cases I've ever had. And if it's in my power, my dear, I'll solve it for both of us.
And you say Mr. Keene won't be in until noon?
I doubt it, Mr. Tagus. My name is Clancy. Mike Clancy. I'm his assistant. Can I help you, sir?
Well, perhaps. You see, my sister-in-law disappeared from our home in Cleveland.
When was this, Mr. Tagus?
2 weeks ago, following my wife's death. I know she came to New York, and I've heard of Mr. Keene's marvelous work as a tracer of lost persons. I was hoping he might be able to help me.
What is your sister-in-law's name, sir?
Halliday, Barbara Halliday. I have a picture of her here.
Oh, I see. Well, if it's just a simple case...
Well, I'm afraid it isn't, Mr. Clancy. Simple, I mean.
Oh.
You see, Miss Halliday is not... well. She has what you might call hallucinations.
Oh, I see.
As a matter of fact, sir, there's no question about it.
About what, Mr. Tagus?
My sister-in-law, Barbara, has lost her mind.
So she said she'd lost her mind, Mike?
Yes, Mr. Keene, sir. And according to Mr. Tagus, she tried to run away from home on several occasions. He was going to put her under the care of a doctor when this happened.
And she has hallucinations?
Yes, sir. She thinks someone's trying to kill her.
What sort of a man was this, Mr. Tagus, Mike?
Oh, very pleasant, nice to talk to. He was mighty worried. I told him you might be able to find the girl if he gave you a little time, sir.
I have found her, Mike.
You what, sir? Mr. Keene's office. Eh? Well, just a minute, please. Cleveland calling, sir.
Thanks, Mike. Hello? Oh, yes, Inspector. You received my wire? Well, it's just a hunch. I suggest you call the coroner and consult with him. Yes. Yes, you can reach me here in my office. Very well, Inspector Bragg, and thank you.
What's this all about, Mr. Keene?
I can't explain now, Mike, because all the pieces don't fit. But I'll try to give you a slight idea of what's been going on while we're on our way.
On our way where, sir?
The Charlotte Hotel. I'm going to make an offer to Miss Halliday, and it's probably the strangest offer that's ever been made to anyone. Let's go, Mike.
We can talk here in the lobby, Mr. Keene.
This is my assistant, Mike Clancy. Miss Halliday.
How do you do?
I'm glad to know you, miss. Sure, and I just met your brother-in-law.
A brother-in-law? Here in New York?
Well,
we haven't got much time, Mike. Do you mind?
Oh, well, no, of course not, sir.
Miss Halliday, I've been thinking over everything you told me about your home life. And I've been trying to make some logic out of those details you've given me concerning your sister and her husband. Now, you say you were always on good terms with him?
Oh, always, Mr. Keene. Well, the only thing is, I believe he sometimes resented my presence in his home, but that was only natural. When he married Grace, he didn't bargain for a third party.
Well, that's neither here nor there at the moment. I've thought of one way in which we might be able to catch the would-be murderer. But it involves a good deal of danger.
I'm not afraid, Mr. Keene.
Well, first let me explain my plan and then give me your answer. Now, it's obvious that this man will make another attempt to kill you. I say it's obvious because he has something definite in mind. He wants you to believe you're in great danger for some reason.
Go on, Mr. Keene.
When a hunter in the African jungles wanted to bag a tiger, he'd set a lamb in the trap.
Well?
Would you be the lamb?
You want me deliberately to expose myself to him?
Yes.
All right.
Now, wait. Don't give me your answer so quickly. Let me explain the greatest danger of all. Up to now, as I've told you, he's only been bluffing, in my opinion. Just trying to frighten you half out of your mind. Well, if he discovers that you have help and that you've set a trap for him, he may want to really finish the job this time.
I understand.
And you're still willing to do it?
I'd rather take that chance than live like a hunted rabbit for the rest of my life. That's how I'm living now, Mr. Keene. And I can't stand it any longer. I can't stand it.
Oh, there now.
All right, Miss Halliday. We're going to help you, I promise. Now, here is the plan.
This is it, Miss Halliday. The Brooklyn Bridge.
Mr. Keene wants me to walk across it alone, Mr. Clancy?
Yes. I'll follow you, but from a distance. We want to give this killer plenty of rope.
It's very foggy tonight.
So much the better.
The bridge seems to be empty now from here.
But people don't usually walk across it on a night like this. There's plenty of traffic going across in cars, but, well, they won't do you any good in case you get into trouble.
I realize that.
Oh, somewhere on that bridge, Mr. Keene is waiting. I only hope he's waiting in the right place at the right time.
I have enough confidence in him, Mr. Clancy. I'm not afraid.
Well, good for you. Be steady now and keep your wits about you. You can rest assured that Mr. Keene will be there when you need him.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Clancy.
No. Not goodbye. Just till we meet again. And good luck, miss.
What are you doing here?
Oh, that's just what I was going to ask you.
Oh, I was just walking.
My dear, do you realize how I've been searching for you? I've combed New York.
I'm sorry I left so suddenly, Chester. I didn't mean to worry you.
Haven't you been well, Barbara?
Yes, I've been... This is just about the most peculiar meeting I've ever had.
Is it?
Well, don't you think it's a coincidence? To meet on Brooklyn Bridge in a city like this?
Well, no matter. Come, we'll go home, Barbara.
No, I can't go home.
What do you mean?
Chester, I can't explain now, but Someone's been trying to kill me.
What?
I know it sounds crazy, but I have absolute proof.
Have you?
And someone is going to help me find this man.
Who, Barbara?
I can't tell you that.
But you say you have proof.
Yes, I'm going to the police tomorrow as my benefactor and...
Wait. Just stop here for a moment.
Why?
I have very bad news for you, Barbara.
What is it?
I'm the one who's been trying to kill you.
You're joking.
Was the piano a joke? Or the subway?
Chester.
Don't scream. It won't do you any good. There's no one about.
Please, Chester, don't look at me like that. Your eyes. Chester, you're mad.
We're in the middle of the bridge. It's a long drop from here, my dear. They say Steve Brody did it. But I don't see how he could have managed it and lived, do you?
No.
You have $50,000 in trust, Barbara, which will go to me.
Keep away from me, do you hear?
Goodbye,
me,
Barbara.
No.
Get out of my way. Mike, he's headed your way.
You won't get far, sir.
We've got you between us now, Mr. Tagus, and there's no escaping.
No funny business now, mister. This gun really works.
Stand back, you hear? Stand back!
He's climbing the rail!
He's going to jump!
Stop him, Mike!
I'll get him, boss! I've got you, Tagus. Don't try to pull a Brody on me.
Get away from me. Get away from me.
Oh, no, you don't. I got you, and I'm saving you for the police, me fine feathered friend.
Feeling better now, Miss Halliday?
Much better. Thank you, Mr. Keene.
I brought you back to my office before taking you home because I wanted to show you this wire from Inspector Bragg in Cleveland. Shall I read it to you?
Please. Mr. Keene, I'm so mixed up.
As well you might be. This wire will be quite a shock. Have definite proof that Grace Tagus was murdered. Handkerchief found in Chester Tagus' trunk contained traces of poison. Have wired New York police to hold Tagus. Thanks, Bragg.
Dear God. Oh, poor Grace.
You thought your sister was attempting to exterminate ants in your home when she accidentally breathed some deadly poison fumes, Miss Halliday.
Yes, that's right, Mr. Keene. But I'm amazed how you should know all this.
I've investigated it, my dear. Actually, those fumes came from a handkerchief which her husband used to kill her with.
He must be mad.
He seemed to be on that bridge. At any rate, we've got him now. And there's still another explanation for his actions in the case.
Yes?
Did you ever hear of a codicil in your mother's will which stated that her money was to go to her eldest daughter and then to you should your sister die, providing the beneficiary was sane and completely capable of handling the financial affairs of the family?
Well, no. I wasn't present at the reading of the original will.
Well, your brother-in-law was. I've contacted the family lawyer, a man you told me about the other day, and he gave me enough information to come to certain very definite conclusions. It was then that I began to realize that someone was trying to drive you mad, Miss Halliday, and I suspected that someone was Chester Tagus. Well, apparently I was right. He would have been next in line for the money with you in the asylum. But now he'll have to face the charge of the murder of your sister.
Oh, Mr. Keene, how can I ever thank you for what you've done for me?
It's not necessary to thank me, my dear. The thanks I receive from seeing that justice is done is quite enough. You can go home now, Miss Halliday, with no fear or foreboding. I can assure you now, there'll be no more murder in the air.
Listen next week at the same time when Mr. Keene brings us the fascinating case of the lady who didn't want to be found. Have you noticed any change in the taste of your dentifrice lately? If so, we invite you to treat yourself to Colonos, a toothpaste that really tastes good. You'll love its tangy, minty flavor that sets your tongue a-tingle, leaves your mouth feeling cool and fresh as a sea breeze. And children really go for that zippy Colonos flavor. You never have to coax youngsters to clean their teeth with keen-tasting Colonos. What a job Colonos does in cleaning teeth. Gets them clean, looking their best. That's because Colonos is a high-polishing toothpaste. Its action on teeth is like a jeweler's polish removing tarnish from precious silver because it helps brush away masking surface film. Colonos leaves your teeth shining clean. Ask your druggist for Colonos. K-O-L-Y-N-O-S. Colonos toothpaste tonight. You'll be glad you did. You've been listening to Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons. Now on the air at a new time, every Thursday night, 7:30 to 8 Eastern Wartime, over this network. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Thursday night when the kindly old Tracer turns to the case of the lady who didn't want to be found. This is Larry Elliott saying good night for the makers of Colonel's Toothpaste and inviting you to listen to Friday on Broadway at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Wartime over most of these stations tomorrow night.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to Geico and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today is actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with Geico feels just like that. Get more with Geico.
Ladies and gentlemen, once again we present Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, one of the most famous characters of American fiction in one of radio's most thrilling dramas. Tonight the famous old investigator takes from his file and brings to us one of his most celebrated missing persons cases. Tonight's case is entitled The Silver Candlestick Murder. Mr. Keene is presented by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia, and by Dentene, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And by Chesterfield's. Chesterfield's are much milder and with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. If you suffer from pains of headaches, neuritis, or neuralgia, you should discover what many thousands have known for years, that Anacin brings incredibly fast, effective relief. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Probably at some time you've received an envelope containing Anacin tablets from your physician or dentist. Thousands of people have been introduced to Anacin this way. Try Anacin yourself the next time you suffer from the pains of a headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. You'll be delighted at how quickly relief can come. Anacin is spelled A-N-A-C-I-N. Your druggist has Anacin in handy boxes of 12 and 30 tablets and economical family-sized bottles of 50 and 100 for your medicine cabinet. Ask for Anacin today. Now, Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons in The Silver Candlestick Murder Case. The scene opens in the dimly lit drawing room of an old mansion on New York's Upper Fifth Avenue. It's about 9 o'clock at night, and a rather shabbily dressed but handsome young man has been pacing the room. Suddenly, he notices a photograph on the mahogany desk. Quickly, he walks toward it, his face showing stunned bewilderment. Great God, it can't be. But it is. Why, this photograph. It's fantastic. I've got to get out of here. I was a fool to have come. Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't see anyone come in. What are you doing with that silver candlestick? Oh, you're struggling. No,
No, don't. Don't you...
Mr. Keene, my name is Mrs. Grace Denning. I need your help most desperately.
Please sit down, Mrs. Denning. Mike?
Yes, boss.
Mrs. Denning, this is my partner, Mike Clancy. Oh,
how do you do, ma'am?
How do you do? Mr. Keene, I know you're a famous murder investigator. And also that you trace people who are missing.
Yes?
I want you to find my husband. Neil has disappeared. And I'm so terribly frightened.
How long has your husband been missing, Mrs. Denning?
Only since yesterday, Mr. Keene. But I know something dreadful has happened to him. Neil is an actor, but acting jobs are scarce. So he's been working as a model for artists and photographers to get money. He's very handsome. Well, yesterday, he had a telephone call.
Yes? Go on, Mrs. Denning.
As I came into the room, I overheard Neil saying, "I'm not going through with it. It's too dangerous, much too dangerous." There was a long pause, and then he said, "Very well, then. I need the money. I'll be there." Then he wrote down an address and hung up the receiver. And, Mr. Keene, Neil's face was white as a sheet.
Mrs. Denning, did you question your husband about the phone call?
Oh, yes. But he was very nervous and evasive. He told me he was going out to pose for a photographer and wouldn't be home until late. Mr. Keene, that was almost 24 hours ago, and he hasn't returned.
Sure, and that's mighty queer. I mean the phone call he got.
Yes, Mr. Clancy, and let me tell the rest of it. I overheard Neil repeat that address where he was going just before he hung up the phone. So this morning I went there. But it isn't an office building or a studio at all. It's a grim-looking old mansion. I kept ringing the bell, but nobody answered. Oh, Mr. Keene, please... help me find Neil. I'm certain he's in dreadful danger or worse.
Mrs. Denning, write down your address on this paper and the address your husband repeated on the phone, the place where he apparently went last night.
Very well. Oh, Mr. Keene, you will search for Neil, won't you?
Yes, but I'm afraid from what you tell me of that phone call that your husband was involved in a dangerous undertaking. And possibly feared for his life.
Oh, Mr. Keene, you don't think...
It's too soon to guess, Mrs. Denning. Now, you go home and wait until Mike Clancy and I investigate. And try not to worry.
Bless you. Goodbye, Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy.
So long, Mrs. Denning.
Mike, I recognize this address where Neil Denning is supposed to have gone last evening.
You do, boss?
Yes. It's the old Tilden mansion, the home of a rich and elderly recluse, Miss Abigail Tilden.
Well, sure, and what would Neil Denning have been doing there, boss?
I don't know, Mike, and I don't like it. For instance, why didn't anyone answer the door when Neil Denning's wife went there today? Come along. Let's go there and see what we can find out. This is the Tilden Mansion, Mike. And would you ring the doorbell, please?
Right, boss. Oh, Mr. Keene, I recall now reading about Miss Abigail Tilden. She's from one of those real old society families.
Yes, Mike. In fact, I knew her slightly many years ago.
Yes? What is it?
My name is Keene, and this is my partner, Mike Clancy.
Mr. Keene, the famous investigator?
Yes, and who are you, young lady?
I'm Elise Tilden. Won't you come in?
I take it you are related to Miss Abigail Tilden.
I'm her niece. Come into the drawing room, Mr. Keene. Mr. Clancy.
Thank you.
Elise, my dear, who are these gentlemen?
Oh, this is Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy, Donald. My fiancé, Donald Stiles.
Oh, Mr. Keene, I've heard of you, of course. Is something wrong?
Yes, Mr. Stiles. A young actor and artist model, Neil Denning, disappeared last night. His wife has reason to believe he came here to this house.
What? I've never even heard of such a man, Mr. Keene.
Well, nor have I. He certainly didn't come here, Mr. Keene. Elise went out for about an hour last evening, but I was here. No one rang the doorbell.
You're sure of that, Mr. Stiles?
Positive. No one came here last night.
I see. Well, thank you very much, Miss Tilden, Mr. Stiles. Come along, Mike.
Yes, boss.
I'm sorry we couldn't be of help, Mr. Keene.
Goodbye.
Well, now, what do you make of that, boss? Sure, maybe Mrs. Denning got the wrong address.
Mike, I happened to notice something in that drawing room. A dark stain on the carpet. It may have been a bloodstain.
A bloodstain? Saints preserve us. Then those two, Miss Tilden and her fiancé, were lying to us.
Mike, just on a hunch, I think you and I will have a look in the cellar of this old Tilden house. And let's go round to the back and see if there's a door or a window we might get in. Come along, Mike. Keep your flashlight on, Mike. It's pitch dark in this old cellar.
This place is more like a dungeon than a cellar, Mr. Keene.
Mike, wait. Turn the flashlight over to the left. There, that's it.
Why, it looks like a coal bin.
Yes. Let's look inside. Mike, look here.
Mr. Keene, it's the body of a man.
Yes.
Oh, and his head's been bashed in by something.
He was obviously killed by a blow on the head. Mike, we've found the answer to Neil Denning's disappearance. He did come here to the old Tilden mansion last night, and he was brutally murdered.
Mr. Keene, do you suppose that... Well,
Mike, someone's coming. Switch off the flashlight.
Can you see who it is, boss? Mr. Keene! Mr. Keene!
I'm all right, Mike, but whoever fired at us is getting away.
The flashlight's broken. Boss, whoever was, went up some steps.
Here, Mike. Here's the staircase. It must lead into the house. Come on. Now the door, Mike. Hurry.
Well, I'm trying to find the doorknob. Well, here. Here it is, boss. Well, looks like we're in the back hallway of the Tilden Mansion, Mr. Keene. But there's no sign of the person who shot at
him. Come on, down this hall, Mike.
Who's there? Mr. Keene, Mr. Clancy. I was up in my Aunt Abigail's room when I thought I heard shots.
You did hear shots, Miss Tilden. Someone fired at Mike and me while we were down in the cellar.
You were down in the cellar?
And whoever it was came up the cellar stairs and got away through the house. Or he may still be here.
Good heavens.
Miss Tilden... Where is your fiancé, Donald Stiles?
Why, he left the house about 5 minutes ago. Mr. Keene, surely you don't think Donald tried to kill you? Why, that's fantastic.
Tilden, Mike Clancy and I have just discovered the murdered body of a young actor, Neil Denning, in a coal bin in the cellar.
What? Oh, no. Is he the young man you came here to inquire about?
Yes, Miss Tilden. Where's your telephone?
In the study.
I'm going to call the police at once.
Oh, but Mr. Keene.
Yes?
Must you call the police? I mean, it's all so dreadful and scandalous.
Tilden, you seem to forget that there's a brutal killer at large. A killer who must be caught before he has a chance to murder again.
I know, Mr. Keene, but I'm thinking of my Aunt Abigail. She'll be horrified and shocked by the scandal. And after all, why should we be involved? None of us ever heard of that man who was murdered.
I'm sorry, Miss Tilden, but you are very much involved. In fact, until this case is solved, everyone in this house is under suspicion of murder.
Mr. Keene will return in just a moment in the Silver Candlestick Murder Case. But first, now here's something of interest to you. For breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Dentine tastes so good.
Dentine freshens your breath.
Dentine helps keep your teeth sparkling clean and white.
Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Before you go out and always after eating, drinking, smoking, refresh your breath with Dentine.
You'll love Dentine chewing gum, for Dentine has a wonderful, tingling, nippy flavor that lingers on and on. It's delicious. And remember, Dentine helps keep your teeth white, too. Keep Dentine handy. You'll enjoy refreshing your breath when you chew Dentine.
So, for breathless moments, for your breathless moments,
chew Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor.
Now back to Mr. Keene and the Silver Candlestick Murder Case. When Neil Denning, a handsome young actor and artist model, mysteriously disappeared, his attractive young wife, Grace, begged Mr. Keene to try and find him. Mr. Keene and his partner, Mike Clancy, have visited a grim old Fifth Avenue mansion and questioned Elise Tilden, niece of its owner, eccentric old Miss Abigail Tilden, and Elise's fiancé, Donald Stiles, who both claim never to have heard of Neil Denning. But a short while ago, Mr. Keene and Mike discovered Neil's body in the cellar of the mansion. Now they're approaching the apartment of Neil Denning to break the news to the widow of the murdered man. And Mike is saying,
"Well, this is Mrs. Denning's apartment, Mr. Keene. It'll be tough to have to tell her her husband has been murdered."
"Yes, Mike.
But it's and too great.
Mike. Listen.
No, you don't know what you're saying. I won't listen."
"Boss, that's Grace Denning's voice."
"Grace, I tell you, Neil is no good. The sooner you realize that and clear out of here, the better." And
"Mr. Denning apparently has a visitor, Mike. Ring the doorbell."
"Oh, Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy. Won't you come in? This is Alan Pager, a friend of my husband, Neil. Alan, this is Mr. Keene and Mr. Clancy."
"How do you do?
How do you do?"
"So you claim to be a friend of Neil Denning's, do you, Mr. Page? Well, sure, when we heard you a minute ago, you aren't talking like any friend of his."
"So you heard me, did you? Very well, Mr. Clancy, I admit it. I was telling Grace it was ridiculous to ask Mr. Keene to find Neil. He hasn't disappeared. He's probably just walked out on her."
"Alan, don't say any more."
"Grace, I told you Neil was no good even before you married him. I thought he'd pull a stunt like this."
"It happens you're mistaken, Mr. Page. We have just come to tell Mrs. Denning some very shocking news."
"Mr. Keene, you don't mean..."
"I'm sorry, Mrs. Denning. Your husband has been murdered."
"Oh."
"Mike and I found his body about half an hour ago."
"No."
"I'm very sorry to bring you this news."
"Neil. Oh, Neil."
"Grace.
Let me alone, Alan. Let me alone."
"Mr. Keene, this is horrible."
"Or maybe it's not as horrible as you'd like us to think, Mr. Page."
"What do you mean by that, Clancy?"
"My partner means, Mr. Page, that if you were in love with Grace Denning, as you obviously seem to be, the police may consider you a strong suspect in Neil Denning's murder."
"Why, you're insane, Mr. Keene. It's true, I'm in love with Grace Denning. And for her sake, I tried to help Neil get back on his feet. He was an actor and out of work most of the time. Why, I even got a job for him."
"What kind of a job?"
"Why, yesterday, a man who belongs to the same club I do said he might have work for Neil Denning and asked for his phone number. I assumed it was a modeling job for a photographer. Neil was doing that work as a sideline lately."
"Mr. Page, who is this man who is so interested in Neil Denning?"
"His name is Stiles, Donald Stiles."
"Say, preserve us, Mr. Keene, sir. The man Elise Tilden is engaged to."
"Yes, Mike. Mr. Page, how well do you know this Donald Stiles?"
"Only casually, Mr. Keene. He's a well-dressed chap, always seemed to have money. I never knew what business he was in."
"I see. Well, come along, Mike. We're going."
"Right, sir." "Mr. Keene, at first I thought this fella Alan Page might have murdered Neil Denning. But now I..."
"Mike, Donald Stiles denied ever having heard of Neil Denning. Now we know he was lying. But why?"
"Yeah, sure, and you got me there, Mr. Keene, sir."
"Mike, I want you to check on Donald Stiles. Find out all you can about him."
"Right, boss. But what about you, Mr. Keene?"
"I'm going back to the Tilden mansion where Neil Denning was murdered. And pay a call on old Abigail Tilden."
"You mean the old aunt who never goes out of her room or sees anybody?"
"Yes. But I'll have to insist on seeing her. As soon as you've checked on Donald Stiles, phone me there. And hurry, Mike. Well, Miss Abigail, it's been many years since I've had the pleasure of seeing you.
Mr. Keene, I know why you're calling on me now. I know there's been a murder here in my house. I couldn't help but know, with police all over the place.
Miss Abigail, last evening, did you hear anything unusual?
No, I did not, Mr. Keene. I never leave my room. My niece went out for a while last night, and her fiancé, Donald Stiles, came up here to my room to keep me company. I could have done very well without that young man's company.
You don't approve of Donald Stiles?
He's a thoroughgoing rascal. Only after release, because he knows that she'll inherit all of my fortune now.
And what do you mean by now, Miss Abigail?
I mean now that I've cut Robbie out of my will.
And who is Robbie?
Why, my nephew, Mr. Keene, and the finest boy who ever lived, till he walked out on me 5 years ago, after we quarreled. He disappeared. That's Robbie's picture there on the table.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I raised Robbie and Elise, their cousin. But Robbie, my nephew, was my favorite until he left this house. I have no idea where he is. And after all I did for him.
That phone call may be for me, Miss Abigail.
You can take it on the extension in the hall, Mr. Keene.
Thank you. Will you excuse me, please? Hello?
Mr. Keene? This is Mike Clancy.
Yes, Mike.
Well, boss, I've checked on Donald Stiles. He's no good. He owes $10,000 to an underworld character named Joe Parrish, who owns a nightclub where Stiles throws expensive champagne parties.
Yes, go on, Mike.
Well, Donald Stiles got engaged to Miss Elise Tilden about 3 months ago. And the talk's going around that he's after the rich old aunt's money.
I've just been talking to the aunt, Miss Abigail Tilden. And, Mike, I've discovered something.
You want me to come over there, boss?
Yes, Mike. Get over here to the old Tilden mansion right away.
Well, Mr. Keene, I didn't know you'd come back.
Oh, Mr. Stiles.
Have you found any clue to that young man, Neil Denning's murder?
Yes. I suggest you and I go into the sitting room here and talk.
Certainly. It's a shocking thing, you're finding his body in the cellar of this house. I suppose someone must have murdered him last night out on the street and dragged his body into the cellar to hide it.
Mr. Stiles, you can stop lying.
What?
I have found out that last night you telephoned Neil Denning at his home and arranged for him to come here to this house at 8 o'clock.
Why, Mr. Keene,
a few minutes ago, in Miss Abigail Tilden's room, I saw a photograph of her nephew, Robbie, who left home 5 years ago after a quarrel with his aunt.
Well?
That photograph bears a startling resemblance to the murdered man, Neil Denning. Mr. Stiles, I'm convinced that you were planning a fraud of some kind. A fraud which involved the missing nephew, Robbie, and Neil Denning, the actor who looked just like him. And when Neil Denning discovered it, did you murder him to keep him quiet?
No. No, I didn't kill him. Mr. Keene, I'll tell you everything. It's true, I did hire Neil Denning to come here last night. I owe a certain big nightclub owner a good deal of money. I was afraid my fiancée, Elise Tilden, would find out and break our engagement. So I had to get money, fast.
Go on, Mr. Stiles.
I knew about Elise's cousin, Robbie, who'd left home 5 years ago. And when I happened to see the actor, Neil Denning's picture, in a magazine advertisement, I was struck with an idea.
I think I know the rest, Mr. Stiles. You engaged Neil Denning, who was an actor, to impersonate the missing nephew, Robbie.
Yes, Mr. Keene. You see, Abigail Tilden is a very old lady. Her eyesight is poor and her mind wanders sometimes. I was sure Neil Denning could fool her into thinking he was her missing nephew, Robbie.
And then what was he to do?
Neil Denning impersonating Robbie was to say that he'd returned home, but that he needed $20,000 right away.
I hoped old Miss Abigail would give him the money. Then Neil Denning and I would split.
A very daring scheme, Mr. Stiles.
I knew my fiancée, Elise Tilden, would be out last evening. I went to her Aunt Abigail's room, and Neil Denning waited in the drawing room ready to come upstairs and pull off his impersonation. But when I went down to get him, he was gone, Mr. Keene. He disappeared.
Donald?
Oh, Elise.
Mr. Keene, you're here.
Yes, Miss Tilden. I was about to tell your fiancé, Donald Stiles, that I now have proof as to who murdered that young man, Neil Denning. You see, I have in my possession the weapon that was used to kill him.
You have the murder weapon, Mr. Keene?
Yes, Miss Tilden. And there are fingerprints on it which will establish the murderer's identity beyond doubt. I intend to turn it over to the police right away.
Oh, no, you don't, Mr. Keene. Stand where you are.
Elise, that gun.
Yes, Donald, I have a gun. Mr. Keene, you're going to hand that silver candlestick over to me.
So it was a silver candlestick you used to beat Neil Denning over the head and kill him. I'm glad to know that, Elise Tilden, because now I can search this house for it.
Then you didn't have a candlestick at all. You tricked me, Keene.
Yes, it was a trick, and it worked.
All right. I admit I killed that man, Neil Denning. But I did it for you, Donald.
Elise, you're crazy.
Go on, Elise. You may as well confess.
I came home early last night. I walked into the drawing room and saw that man, Neil Denning, standing there. In the dim light, I thought it was my cousin Robbie, come home after all these years. I was frantic. I knew Robbie would win Aunt Abigail over to him again. He was always her favorite. She'd leave all her money to him, and I'd lose everything. So I picked up the silver candlestick and killed Neil Denning.
Elise, Elise, how could you?
I told you I did it because of you, Donald. I know you don't really love me. You'd leave me if I didn't inherit Aunt Abigail's fortune.
And so in a moment of panic, Miss Tilden, you murdered the man you thought might take that fortune from you.
When I saw it wasn't my cousin Robbie, but a stranger, was too late, Mr. Keene. So I dragged his body to the cellar, trying to hide it.
And that gun in your hand is the same gun you fired at Mike Clancy and me when we were in the cellar. I suspected it when we came upstairs, and I noticed a smudge of coal dust on your dress. But I needed proof.
It won't do you any good. I've killed once and I'll do it again.
Oh, no, you don't, young lady. Now, give me that gun.
Let go of me.
There. There, I've got the gun now, Mr. Keene. And this lady won't be causing any more trouble.
You got here just in time, Mike. Donald Stiles here is guilty of attempted fraud. An evil crime, to be sure. But it's Elise Tilden who will pay the supreme penalty for the murder of Neil Denning.
And so Mr. Keene finds the solution. The Silver Candlestick Murder Case.
The mask is off. The mask is off in cigarette advertising. Chesterfield is first to name all of its ingredients, and here they are. Chesterfield uses the right combination of the world's best tobaccos, pre-tested by laboratory instruments for the most desirable smoking qualities, and kept tasty and fresh by the only tried and tested moistening agents proved by over 40 years of continuous use in USA tobacco products as entirely safe for use in the mouth. Pure natural sugars and chemically pure, harmless, and far more costly glycerol. Nothing else. And remember this. Chesterfields are wrapped in pure white cigarette paper, the best that money can buy. You can be glad if you smoke Chesterfields, because they give you every advantage known to modern science. For you, that means that Chesterfields are much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste and no unpleasant aftertaste. All for your smoking pleasure and protection. So sound off for Chesterfields and do it today.
Listen again next week to Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, a new weekly feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Mystery, Comedy, Music, and Drama, brought to you by Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, and neuralgia. And by Dentine, the gum with breathtaking flavor. And Beeman's Pepsin, the gum that's great to chew and good for your digestion, too. And by Chesterfield. Remember, Chesterfields are much milder, with an extraordinarily good taste. And from the report of a well-known research organization, Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste. Mr. Keene, Tracer of Lost Persons, is based on the novel Mr. Keene. The radio sequel is originated and produced by Frank and Ann Hummer. Dialogue by Gene Carroll, directed by Richard Leonard. Philip Clark plays Mr. Keene. Your announcer, Jack Costello. Remember, Mr. Keene is on the air at this same time every Thursday at 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Don't miss Mr. Keene next Thursday when the kindly old tracer turns to the House on the Cliff murder case.
Dragnet, authentic adventure, is next on NBC.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.